Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning.
Good morning, Emily.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, this is a great day. I'm really excited for today. It's very sunny out.
I'll fix the blinds here in a minute, yeah.
This is Emily Rowell, your host, and this is Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. We're excited that you're tuning in. Today is actually our 1-year anniversary, or our birthday, you could say.
Right, yeah.
And today is especially exciting because we're talking about beer.
Well, and we have not only a guest in the studio talking about beer, we actually have a guest that brought beer.
Yeah.
So it's a little morning ale.
Yeah. We'll see if we make it
wake
to the
you
end.
Up. But congratulations. I have to say, Rich Casanova here, Business Radio X producer, engineer. Emily is the host for Ale Radio. But wow, what a milestone. Your 1-year anniversary. Congratulations. Yep. I think that deserves a round of applause, right?
Oh,
yes or yes? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Very exciting.
It's been an awesome year.
And for those tweeting, you probably saw the message. It's actually happy ale-iversary.
Yeah, it's ale-some.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we got all kinds of ale puns, so stay tuned for more. Yeah, we better get to the show or else our guests will be like, hello, is this on?
Great. Today we have Taylor Harper. He's back. He was here just about a year ago with Taylor, Fail Harper, Lumsden, and Hess.
Good morning.
PC, good morning. Thank you for being here. And what will you be discussing today, Taylor?
Oh, all sorts of things going on in the craft beer industry.
Awesome. Awesome. Love it. And we have Nancy Palmer with the Georgia Craft Brewers Guild back again.
Thank you for having me again, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. We're happy to have you. And we have Robert Fabrini with Red Brick Brewing Company.
Good morning. Good morning.
You are experiencing all the stuff that we're going to be talking about today.
Yes. We live it on the front lines every day.
Right. That's correct. Right.
And Robert is the gentleman that brought the beer, right?
Yes. Yeah. And we can't talk. So,
well, we that's the thing is, from now on, if anything goes wrong, guess whose fault it is? Yeah.
And today we want to make sure we let you know that this show has been brought to you by Peachtree Offices, where you can work virtually anywhere, and 3A Law Practice Management. They help lawyers start and grow their practice, and by Atlanta's own John Marshall Law School. You can find their logo and link to their website on AtlantaLegalExperts.com. And we have a great announcement also. ALE is doing a CLE for attorneys. In about 1 month, it's going to be June the 10th. It's a Wednesday.
I'm putting it on my calendar right now. So ALE, the CLE, is the KGB involved or no?
No.
Okay, good.
But we actually have 3A Law Practice Management, Alvaro. We have Randy Kessler, and we have the Georgia State Bar that's supporting the C Young Lawyers Division.
Look at you, all the top dogs. I didn't think you could top... The Attorney General was here last week. I was a little bit nervous, whatever. Yeah.
Why do you think I'm doing this? Right. So it's actually ALE's very first CLE. I just love saying that.
I know, exactly.
So we're excited to bring that to you. And just mark your calendar, save the date for June 10th. More to come on
okay,
that.
I have a new rule. No more beer in the studio yet. It's too early yet.
Okay, so we're going to start with Taylor Harper. I'm so glad to have him back. His practice focuses primarily on regulatory compliance and litigation in the beverage alcohol industry. The beverage alcohol industry is highly regulated and governed by a complex web of laws from multiple intersecting jurisdictions. In his regulatory compliance practice, he helps individuals and companies navigate this gauntlet with care, foresight, and precision to protect them from mishaps and position them for success. On the litigation side, he uses his industry expertise to achieve the best possible solution for his clients, whether through trial or negotiated resolution. He's been neck deep in the beverage alcohol industry for the past few years, and his firm has been a leader in this practice area for nearly 40 years. He's regularly asked by government officials, legislators, and trade organizations to explain the ins and outs of the industry, and has presented at multiple conferences, such as the annual conference of the National Conference of State Liquor Administrators and the annual Southeastern Craft Brewers Symposium. Wow. You do a lot. It's great to have you.
Thank
and you,
you
also, when you're not lawyering, you have a beautiful family. And
I do.
You have a son, and you have another one on the way, don't you?
I do. I have a little girl that's going to be born at the end of July.
Wonderful. So you have one of each.
Yep.
Yay. That's great. That's great.
Quitting time.
Exactly. I had one of each myself and I was done. So awesome. So let's just talk a little bit about, you know, how did you get to where you were today, where you are today?
Sure. As you said, the firm has been involved in this area of the beverage alcohol industry for 40 plus years. And I started at the firm 5 years ago and I was kind of working all over the place, working for all the different partners, doing all types of different things outside of the beverage alcohol industry. And I started to get more and more work that was in the beverage alcohol practice and the regulatory practice, the litigation practice, and really, really found that I enjoyed it. For several reasons, there's a lot of constitutional law involved, which is always fascinating, at least for me. And I've always had an affinity for the industry. I love good brew, just good booze altogether. And at this point now, we are representing all across all three tiers, breweries, distilleries, wineries, importers, wholesalers, and then down at the retail level, we'll do restaurants, bars, hotels, and we also represent some developers, among others.
Wow, that's awesome. So do you, you're obviously located in Atlanta. Whereabouts in Atlanta are you located?
Right down the street from you guys. We're in Buckhead at a Tower awesome. Place, right at the intersection of Peachtree and Piedmont.
But you serve all of Georgia.
We do.
Awesome. So tell me, how you have to study these laws, I'm sure, all the time. You have to be up there with, you know, and keeping in touch with everything that's going on.
Yeah, it's difficult and time consuming. And fortunately, I'm very interested in the industry. So I enjoy actually getting to keep up to date on all that's going on.
Right. My husband loves to read up on that kind of stuff as well. And then also like the local gun laws and everything. So he's just constantly even just reading in forums, like on his phone and stuff. So I'm wondering if that's, you know, you're just constantly looking at stuff like that.
Yeah, and actually, I get there's a lot of info that comes through on social media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I guess the other benefit is in this industry, I actually get to, to go out and taste things as part of my business development, which is always fun.
That's awesome. You can write it off too.
Right.
That's great. So tell me more about how you help your clients. So what's your type of client, and how do you help them?
Well, as you eloquently stated in the my intro there,
thank you.
The alcohol industry, beverage alcohol industry, is just highly regulated. There are multiple levels of jurisdiction involved. There's the federal, the state, and the local. And you know, think about just in Georgia, there's 159 counties and 500 municipalities, all with differing laws. And it's complicated. It's confusing to even those who have been in the industry for a long time. So we try to help navigate our clients through those laws so that they don't get caught in a trap.
So would you say that you help more like the new businesses, or?
I would say we have a lot of work right now for startups. But we also have some very well-established clients, both across all three tiers, whether it's restaurants, restaurants that have been in Atlanta for a long time are our clients, breweries that have been in Atlanta for a long time are our clients, and some wholesalers that have been in Atlanta for a very long time are our clients.
Okay, so just a mix of everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit more about the most recent laws that have been passed. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I'll let Nancy get into it more than into the details
kind of summarize
here.
It, yeah.
She kind of spearheaded Senate Bill 63, which is otherwise known as the Beer Jobs Bill. my involvement with it was kind of tangential. The whole effort initially was to allow breweries to be able to sell to consumers that visit the brewery, what we'll refer to, I guess, as retail sales. That would hugely benefit breweries and the industry as a whole. It would create an additional revenue stream, a substantial additional revenue stream. Ultimately, the bill that was passed doesn't quite resemble what was initially put forth. But I'll let Nancy get into the details of that.
Sure, sure. So tell us a little more about how we can contact you.
Okay. Easiest way, I guess, is you can call the office. I'm sure the number's on the website, which is www.tfhlegal.com. I have a Georgia craft beer blog, which is www.georgiacraftbeerlawyer.com. Mm-hmm. I'm on social media, as is the firm, on Facebook, Twitter, you know, LinkedIn,
everywhere.
All of the above, yeah.
Awesome. I'm sure that helps you too.
Yeah, it does.
So tell me really quick, like, what other industries help you? Like, I know a lot of the attorneys that have been on the show, other attorneys in different types of law or fields of law refer them business. What other types of businesses refer you business and vice versa?
We get a lot of business from other attorneys that represent developers in big real estate transactions. You know, if there's a big development going in that's going to have a lot of different restaurants, we'll help out with the licensing for those restaurants.
Gotcha.
And that really has to be handled on the front end, because if you try to do it later on, then your blueprints and plans are all messed up.
Right, right. Okay, great. So just to remind our listeners, you're listening to Atlanta Legal Experts Radio, and it's been brought to you by Peachtree Offices and also 3A Law Practice Management. And we're going to welcome Nancy Palmer. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the coffee.
Absolutely. With a little beer. No. I had to say it. Nancy is the vice president of the Georgia Craft Brewers Guild and the founder and president of Cork and Key Beverage Consulting Company, founded in 2010. The guild is organized to promote, protect, and further in every lawful manner the common interests of the members and the licensed brewing industry in Georgia. She is a perennial student of the beverage industry, having spent a decade exploring all facets of the business. Though she's concentrated on wine for most of her career, she found tremendous pleasure in learning about both beer and spirits. Her favorite aspect of the business is certainly education. She enjoys making the complicated and often intimidating world of high-end beverage accessible and interesting for anyone with any background. That's really good. So tell me a little bit more about how you got into what you're doing now.
Well, I started out of college with my philosophy and religion degree, and found that my most marketable skill set was that I knew a lot about alcohol. And so I actually parlayed that into becoming a sommelier. I passed my exam when I was 24 and worked as a sommelier and wine consultant for a while. And about 3 years ago, the guild brought me on to do some part-time work for them in development while I was doing restaurant consulting. And just over a year ago, they actually brought me on full time as their executive director.
That's awesome.
I've been with the guild full time and have been making it up as I go along. But I think, you know, I'm doing all right. And it's a very interesting and exciting role to have. There are, inside of each state, there is a guild. The Brewers Association, which is our national trade organization, has really fostered those. And so there's now a guild inside of every state, and there's 26 executive directors. So there's another 25 of me out there, but we've really got kind of a cohort across the Southeast, and it's really an interesting position to have. Not a lot of people do it.
Yeah. So tell me, because are you still doing the Cork and Key as well?
I do from time to time. I have some clients that I have one guy who just can't handle the headache and the heartache of buying his own wine. So I do that for him. But mostly I'm just kind of working with clients doing private buying and really focused on the guild now. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Cause I remember that from the last time, cause I'm more interested in wine, honestly. I love beer and I love the taste of it, but it's an immediate headache for me. So I like to stick with wine, cause at least I can have it for a little while before getting a headache. Enjoy it a little bit more. So tell me more about the guild. How does Georgia compare with other Southeastern states in the realm of craft brewery laws?
Well, we spent a lot of time talking with our legislature about this year. Georgia is a little bit behind when it comes to the way that other Southeastern states deal with their craft breweries. You know, specifically what we had worked on this year was asking for direct retail sales, mm-hmm. Where you could go to a brewery and buy a beer. And we felt like that was going to be a big step for Georgia. Mm-hmm. However, Compared to other states in the Southeast, they'd done that quite a while ago. In
sure.
Florida, that became legal in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
And so we felt like it was a really good step for Georgia to kind of get caught up. It's legal in Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida.
So all around.
Yes, all around. And so it's one of the things that would really drive some revenue for our breweries and keep them competitive in the Southeast in a way that's really important for this industry.
Sure. What is a craft brewery, if you could describe that exactly, and how many do we have here in the state?
A craft brewery is a brewery that makes less than 6 million barrels and also uses traditional methods in order to make those. The reality is that there's a huge discrepancy between the big brewers like Anheuser-Busch and MillerCoors and the small brewers. Generally speaking, the Cartersville plant for Anheuser-Busch makes about 9.5 million barrels of beer a year.
Wow.
So a barrel is two kegs, like what you would think of as a keg.
Okay.
Whereas a brewery like Red Brick is around 10,000, 11,000 barrels.
14,000, actually.
14,000. My guys grow so fast, I can't even keep up with it. And so it's just a totally different business model. We have, inside of the guild, we consider our brew pubs, which is a restaurant that makes beer, and then also our production breweries, which are just the manufacturing facilities like Red Brick. We consider those all craft breweries. Anyone who makes a beer,
okay,
and isn't Anheuser-Busch or MillerCoors, basically,
which we call training beer,
right? So
for the real stuff. Sorry.
So there's 38 craft breweries in the state now, but we still rank 47th in the country of breweries per capita. So
wow.
We have a gigantic population, and there's more breweries in Asheville, North Carolina, than there are in the whole state of Georgia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's great because, you know, a little bit means that it's really good. They work really hard on it.
They do, and they've got a very thirsty market, if you will.
Exactly.
The market is ready for craft beer, which is great for my guys. And I think that, you know, with some legislative changes, we'll be able to get some more breweries in here.
Yeah, and the demand is high.
Yes, wonderful.
And it's not too hard to find, you know. I mean, I know that you can find some great local stuff even at your local grocery store. So,
and that's a lot of credit to the distributors in the state. They have really taken up the craft brewery mantle, and I think because they're small, independent Georgia-owned companies for the most part that are proud to promote, you know, the small, independent Georgia-owned craft breweries, but also they make a little more money. Everybody makes a little more money on craft beer.
Absolutely.
You might have noticed it's a little more expensive. So
right.
It's a good business proposition all around.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not speaking from experience, but the experience of buying it for my husband mm-hmm. on a regular basis.
Of course.
I almost announced him as a guest on the show as an expert consumer. He definitely has taken his part. He even has that app on his phone where you pretty much mark down every time you get you taste a new beer.
Sure. Yeah.
This is an app that so many people, it's called Untappd, and
yes.
So many people use it, and I have not gotten into it because I'm afraid, quite honestly. But it's clear that the more conversations I have, I'm going to have to download this and start figuring it out because apparently it's a really big deal.
Well, we have fun. I mean, we taste the different local beers and then obviously different wines, and they really have an amazing different taste to them. It's unbelievable. And then you go back to the others that we were talking about, and I won't say it. And it's just like, blah, you know, just total difference.
It is. But what is amazing about the others is a tremendous amount of consistency. I mean, and from anyone who brews professionally will tell you that it is amazing the amount of consistency and the technical prowess, because those beers are actually not easy to make.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me, what are the other areas of reform that you see happening in the other states?
You know, so we're asking for direct sales here. We asked for that last year, and we got a version of that. you know, we asked for a brewery to be able to sell direct, and what we got instead was a brewery's able to sell a tour and give away some free product in order to avoid the concept of selling. And I'm sure that lawyers listening to this are going, like, that is the strangest kind of state-mandated subterfuge. But that's kind of how the legislature chose to approach it. You know, had we kind of, you know, gotten that, we would be looking at the other kind of areas of reform, including self-distribution, which would allow a brewery to sell its own beers direct to a retailer. That's something that they have in North Carolina. I think it's worked out really well for them. Mm-hmm. Possibly look at something called franchise law reform, which has been very popular across the country. And also look at some excise tax reform. We have the fourth highest excise tax rate. So we're looking at that on a federal level and mm-hmm. also on the state level. But those are the kind of the big spaces that you see people move into. And then in some cases, you see states do licensing reform where they might create a license that specifically is a craft brewery. Okay. And that would be challenging in Georgia because we do have a Budweiser facility and a Miller facility. And our organization tends to be relatively libertarian minded and say, you know, if Red Brick can do it, then so can Budweiser, and that's fine with us. Right. But that is a direction that a lot of states go, is saying, you know, craftsmen or craft breweries are a separate regulatory entity than the big brewers.
Now, tell me, why do you think that it's just so hard to get these things to happen in this state? What is your personal opinion or professional opinion?
You know, I think there's a lot of elements here. The wholesalers did fight us during the last legislative session, and those are the guys that distribute the beer, and sure. they are they're very powerful entities that have been in business for a very long time. Most of them are in their third generation of ownership. So some of it is that, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I think that those guys have done a lot of investment in Georgia, mm-hmm. and they're rewarded for that with a lot of deference in the legislative process. So I think that's an element of it, but also there's just an element of education, you know, getting our legislators up to speed on what the system is, how we can actually change it to improve business in Georgia. I think that there's a lot of tolerance out there and a lot of desire to really improve Georgia as a business state. You know, we've talked a lot about Georgia being number one for business in the last year. And I think that just education and really just having a presence with our legislators is the biggest thing. It's something that we just haven't been very well organized before. And now that we're creating those relationships, you know, I'm feeling very positive about all sorts of things that kind of conversations that we could have and working with our wholesalers on really improving the business environment for craft breweries.
Gotcha. So because you guys have really just been doing this since 2010, right? So
right.
And you've come a long way.
Yeah. The guild had various iterations before that. But I mean, we've doubled the number of breweries in Georgia in the last 2 years. So, wow. I mean, all of the businesses are very young. They're not, you know, they're too busy worrying about, you know, buying toilet paper and, you know, filing tax forms and stuff like that to really get involved in the legislative process. And so now we're kind of making that a habit. And that's a really important thing for us politically.
That's great. So tell me, how much of our system is left over from Prohibition and how much is relatively new?
It's interesting. A lot of people look at the system, the three-tier system, right? So a manufacturer sells to a wholesaler sells to the retailer sells to you, and any other version, anything that doesn't look like that is not the three-tier system. And so a lot of people, you know, kind of wonder how we got here, and sometimes they'll point and say it's a 70-year-old system in a bad way. You know, how do you maintain a 70-year-old system without changing anything? And other right. times they say it's, you know, tradition. It's been done this way for 70 years and we should never change it. But the reality is a lot of what's going on, you know, has changed over the last several years, and have changed in respect to how the market has changed. Mm-hmm. In 1980, there were fewer than 40 breweries in the country. Now there's over 3,000. So wow. the market is changing, and some of the laws that were set up when there were only 40 breweries in the country and there were thousands of distributors to kind of protect that relationship, mm-hmm. That kind of market dynamic has totally changed. Mm-hmm. So the idea that you would have a wholesaler, that's Prohibition for sure, right? That it's very important to have someone who's inside of the community, who's responsible for the alcohol inside of that community, because they'll have a greater responsibility towards that community. That idea is straight out of Prohibition. But the stuff about franchise law reform and a brewery not being able to sell beer direct to the public and stuff like that, that's really more left over of the 80s and 90s when there were just gigantic breweries and teeny tiny distributors. Mm-hmm. And it didn't anticipate a time when there would be gigantic distributors and teeny tiny breweries.
Gotcha. Wow. Yeah. She knows her stuff, doesn't she?
She does.
Well, awesome. And we look forward to hearing from you more when we discuss some, you know, have an open roundtable at the end. But if you will tell our listeners how they can reach you.
Well, you can reach out to me at the Georgia Craft Brewers Guild, and you can reach out to me on our website in a... not very excited about this fact, but those emails do go straight to me. if you contact us through the website, or you can always give us a call at our office. It's 404-955-5544, I think. I'll have to double check that. But reach out to us on our website or check us out on Twitter at Georgia Brewers Guild.
Thank you so much for being here. And next, we have Robert Fabrini.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for the beer, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You're
absolutely
welcome. Congratulations on your first year anniversary.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I can't believe it. It went by like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and now we've got a lot of support from a lot of people, don't we?
Yes, that is correct. I'm over here doing
Are
some
you
social
here?
Media and taking pictures, yeah, roaming around the studio and trying to get some bad pictures, but so far I haven't been able to get any yet.
That's good. So Robert joined the Red Brick team in January of 2010 because he desired to make a switch from the technology industry to food and beverage. There was actually no position available when he made his inquiry, but he managed to talk his way, I haven't had any, I swear, in by offering to help out with a special project. Ironically, Robert's first experience with craft beer was at a tour of Red Brick Brewing Company in the late 90s at our old Midtown location. Since then, he's developed an appreciation for craft beer. It's not hard to do. Robert is a champion in Red Brick's quarterly employee brew off. Robert has a marketing degree from Auburn University and a degree in Italian language from Florida State University, which he used to sell Red Brick internationally. Red Brick was recently recognized by the governor of Georgia as the first Georgia craft brewery to export beer. Awesome.
That's correct.
And you did that.
We did it. We started about 2.5 years ago, and it's we tapped into a whole new market for craft beer in the Southeast. So that's a really exciting time for us.
Yeah. That is very exciting. So tell me a little bit about Red Brick.
Okay. Red Brick, I'll keep it simple. With Red Brick, our thing is that we really try to keep things simple. We have a philosophy at Red Brick, and mm-hmm. it's really just staying focused on brewing great beer. We hire the best people. We use high quality ingredients, and we use the best equipment, and that provides obviously a recipe, pun intended, for great craft beer. And we don't necessarily have a signature style or a signature ingredient. We just stay focused on brewing the best beer possible. That's our thing. That's what we do. Focus on brewing great craft beer.
Well, you have to stay on that focus, or else you're not going to have a good beer.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So you do keep it simple. Where are you headed as a brewery?
There's a lot of other breweries popping up. I think, with the craft beer industry, what you see is, Nancy had mentioned it earlier, there's 3,000 craft breweries in the United States, and even in the Atlanta area, in Georgia, there's just a huge growth in craft beer, which is a great thing for mm-hmm. Red Brick. It's a competition, obviously, but it's good. There's a huge population of craft beer drinkers out there, mm-hmm. and they're converting. So really what we're trying to do is just stay focused on doing what we do, brewing great beer. And the more people that discover us, the more we grow and sort of repeat the cycle.
Right. So the other breweries actually help you.
That's true. Yes.
Because you need competition.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the name of the game. And I think there's so much to go around. So I think it's great that you guys kind of support each other, and especially because of the things that you go through trying to, go around the laws and everything.
Exactly.
To have support. So tell me more specifically about the beers.
Okay, so Red Brick has, we have three.
It's a fun part.
We have, exactly. I brought a couple for you to celebrate again, your anniversary. I'll tell you about those beers here in a second. But we have three beers that we brew year-round. And the first one of those is our flagship. It's an American IPA. It's a 6.8% ABV, and we call that beer Hoplanta. And it's a very popular beer. We started brewing that in 2011, and it's just skyrocketed ever since.
Awesome.
And IPA is, you may or may not know this, it's the best selling style in craft beer. Mm-hmm. And then we also brew a beer. It's a session IPA with 4.5% ABV. This beer, we call it affectionately casual. And then so for those listeners out there who don't understand the term session, it's really pretty simple. Just think of session IPA as a lower ABV IPA. IPA stands for India Pale Ale, for those of you who may not know. And it's just a lower ABV beer with all the great flavor of a traditional IPA.
Now tell us what ABV is.
Oh, that's alcohol by volume. That's the percentage.
I mean, I knew that, but you know,
sure. Sorry, too many technical terms out there. But
that's okay.
Yeah. So it's the level of alcohol in the beer. So
okay.
And then
The high gravity.
Well, yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's fine. Although, yeah, the session IPA is lower gravity by design, so people can kind of relax and enjoy more of them. It's more about the flavor and just kind of, you know,
which is
relaxing.
Good.
You know, and drinking it on the beach or at a pool, on a boat, you know, and just over a period of time. So, one of our most popular brands is a crisp, easy drinking beer. It's an amber ale, 5.3% ABV. It's called Laughing Skull. And Laughing Skull is really, it's at the root of the tradition of Red Brick. It's been around it's been around really since the beginning of Red Brick. And for those of you who associate Laughing Skull with the Vortex restaurant in Atlanta, you would be correct to make that association, actually. Laughing Skull was inspired by our friends at the Vortex, and we started brewing that in the late 90s.
Oh, cool.
And it's really developed a growing, loyal following ever since. So it's really a super popular beer. So
great. So those are the three that you focus on.
Those are the three we focus on. We also have three seasonal beers that we offer. I'll just go over those real quick. And
sure.
We actually have a lot of beers. It's, you know, in the interest of time, I won't go over every single one of them. But
right.
Our three seasonal beers, currently we're in the spring-summer season. Mm-hmm. So we have a beer, a Belgian-style wheat. It's called Hibiscuit. And that beer is brewed with hibiscus tea, Saigon cinnamon, and orange peels. Mm. It's an extremely popular beer, and it's a seasonal now, and we're selling it so much, we may even add that to our core lineup. Mm-hmm.
I could add, this is Nancy, and I love hibiscus wit. Like, I love that beer. I can never say it right, but I drink it regularly.
You drink it just
especially
fine.
I drink it just fine. Yeah, that is really one of my favorite seasonal beers. I can pick it out on a shelf, and that's the most important thing.
Exactly.
But it's a wonderful beer.
Yeah. And you can find all these beers, you know, at any craft beer store, liquor store, Kroger, Publix. So you're gonna see us on the shelf. And then so in the fall, we're releasing a really unique beer. It's a spiced sweet potato brown ale, and we're calling it Southern Roots. And this is sort of, this speaks to really the creativity and sort of the uniqueness, the unique philosophy of our brewers. One of the most popular styles of beer is a spiced pumpkin ale, and it actually really shows up in kind of, you know, September, October, November, just for a very brief time, but people buy the heck out of spiced pumpkin beer. It's crazy. This is really in line with that category.
Mm-hmm.
The brewers didn't want to just do another pumpkin beer, so they wanted to do something, you know, unique on
sounds
that
like
category.
It'll be great.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And then, so finally in the winter, we're going to release a beer, and this beer I consider Red Brick's really most innovative beer, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. It's a milk stout. It's brewed with chai tea, and we call it Divine Bovine. And it's that beer is it's amazing. Yeah. So
man, by the end of the show, I'm going to be a beer drinker again.
So that's just a little bit about our beers, but we have more
sounds
offerings.
So good.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, with the chai tea, I love chai tea.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that beer is a milk stout. It's a dark beer. People usually associate a dark beer with a heavier drinking beer, but it's this beer actually drinks really light. It's a really light drinking beer.
Yeah, because I always think like Guinness or
exactly
the real heavy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me, this is so much fun. What kind of person drinks Red Brick or finds Red Brick interesting?
Well, Red Brick brews beer that it's again, you know, we try to keep a simple philosophy. If you try to make it too complicated, you're just going to get kind of stuck in your own creativity. So we don't want to overcomplicate, you know, the beer. We just focus on brewing really great beer. And our thing is we're brewing beer that appeal to people who really just want to drink a high quality craft beer. I know that seems kind of cliche and simple, but it's true. We're not making a beer that you have to pretend to enjoy or learn to enjoy over time. With sort of an acquired taste, our beers are going to be when you know, people who love beer that taste red brick beer, they're going to immediately appreciate, the beer at another level, you know, and they're going to kind of start to recognize the really unique flavors in our beers, the aroma, the texture, the way the beer finishes after you drink it, even something as simple as like the color and the carbonation. You know, these are all the components that make up a great craft beer.
Awesome. So tell me a little more about the success, or I'm sorry, what your secret to success is.
Well, there really is not a secret. Again, it's just like anything in life. It's just come in every day, work hard. At Red Brick, there's a serious commitment to quality. We're always striving to learn more and become better at what we do. Anecdotally, I can speak to our employee brew offs, that sort of represent the enthusiasm for craft beer at Red Brick internally. And then so, at Red Brick, there's really a passion for craft beer. It's ingrained in our culture, and it's the most obvious at these quarterly employee brew offs, and I love them, and they're so much fun. We actually open the doors to the public, and so nice. to the public. And then basically what that is involved in it, everyone at Red Brick, I'm the general manager. I work in the office. I do a lot of, paperwork, they don't let me near the beer, I don't want to, but I'm the office expert. I'm the administrative expert, support sales. But even in the office, there's four or five of us, and we're all taught to brew beer. Every single person that's hired at Red Brick is taught to brew beer by either the brewmaster or the lead brewer. So the brewmaster is Garrett Lockhart and the lead brewer is Steve Anderson. And they started this culture of really just trying to get people an appreciation for beer. And what better way, to teach people about beer than to make it, and to teach. So we all know how to make beer. And, they don't let us go on the 3,000 gallon production batch system. We have a 10 gallon pilot test system. So, oh, cool. What the brewers use, they actually they're constantly brewing, testing beers. So we have this 10 gallon batch system, and that the brewers will use, before they try a 3,000 gallon batch. Sure. They'll try a few 10 gallon batches, and they'll taste test those.
And that's good for your experience, obviously. And then like when you can talk to people and the customers, that completely helps,
absolutely.
Describing what the beer is, how it's made, and it helps them figure out what they want to buy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. I'll just say, real quick, I didn't, about the employee brew off, basically. Yes. So all the employees, we actually have one of these July 22nd. So Red Brick Brewing has a Facebook page, Red Brick Brewing.
Mark your calendars.
It'll probably be announced on our social media July 22nd. And this basically is where we open our doors and all the employees brew a beer, and, the public's favorite, they all vote for their favorite beer, and the one that wins, they get a crystal, beer mug. And, oh, cool. 3 months of bragging rights. And it really inspires a healthy level of competition, fun competition. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the other thing that it does that I really like about these events is that it also inspires innovation. And the beer you're looking at now, the Belgian-style wheat, our Hibiscawit, was actually born out of one of these employee brew-offs.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
The brewers, it was brewed initially by, Tyler Cates, our marketing coordinator. And the brewers were so impressed with that beer, they kind of filed it away, and then they launched it as a seasonal last year, actually. And
I
then,
love it.
Actually, and just a really funny story is we have a production staff, a gentleman, his name is Tony Arise, and this is one of my personal favorites. It didn't make the production portfolio, but he actually brewed a beer, a brown ale, with Valdelia, caramelized Valdelia onions. And it sounds crazy, yeah. but I will never forget that beer. That beer was delicious. It was delicious. But
it's probably more salty than sweet, I would
think. No, it's sweet. Vidalia
really
onions are sweet,
that's right.
And you're caramelized,
yeah.
and so it kind of adds to that malty characteristic of a brown ale. And obviously it's too complex, doesn't really fit a production scale, but I just have to, my kudos again to Tony for brewing that beer. So
awesome. So tell me, is there ever a bad day in your day, in your world?
If there is, there's a tasting room right outside the door, so you know, the bad days don't last very long.
So. I bet. Great. So why don't you tell our listeners how they can reach you, and then tell us again where they can find out more about the event on July 22nd, and I do know at least two people that'll be there.
Sure. Okay. You know, our website, Red Brick Brewing, redbrickbrewing.com, and our Facebook and social media, Twitter. And then we also have tours and tastings Monday through Wednesday. We open our doors from 5 to 8. And then our address is 2323 DeFore Hills Road. All that information is on our website. And then we're also open on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday afternoons. And, you know, you come in at the right time. A Friday or a Saturday, we'll have live music and, you know, nice weather sometimes. And
yeah,
it's really a good way to spend the afternoon. So.
Well, we'll be patronizing there for sure.
As long as you don't try to buy a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't be able to do that, but you can try some free beer.
Exactly. Sample. Yeah, it's samples and a free tour and free samples.
So. Great. Thank you. So let me just remind our listeners again, we're listening to Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. I am your host, Emily Rowell, and this show has been brought to you by Peachtree Offices and 3A Law Practice Management. You can go to atlantalegalexperts.com, and you can see all of their links and all their information. And then also, you'll be able to see everybody that's here today, all of their bios, and get all their information as well. It's atlantalegalexperts.com. So far, so good. I think this is a great party.
I concur. Rich Casanova here, and I've been taking lots of photos for social media, and I was just thinking to myself, normally we delete the blurry photos, but I think we could actually, with all the beer in the studio, I think we could actually post the blurry ones, right?
It'd be a nice little effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about the laws and like what just happened recently, which was yesterday, which mm-hmm. is kind of why we were scheduled. But what's really cool is this is the actual birthday of Ale Radio, because the first was Bay Six, which we were going to have it yesterday. So it worked out both ways.
Yep.
Yeah. So yesterday morning, the governor signed SB 63. And that was very exciting for us. I got a pen, which is very exciting for me. You know, we're very happy to have that bill passed. We, you know, started the session really not knowing what we were doing, but we had fantastic lobbyists, and I can't say enough about Senator Hunter Hill, who was our sponsor on this bill, and he spent a ton of time with it, shepherding us through the process and making sure that we came out with a bill that really works. So we did start the session asking for direct sales in a limited capacity, and we weren't able to get that. But we are excited that for the first time, you'll be able to go to a Georgia brewery and actually leave with some beer. So as opposed to just sampling on site, there will now be free souvenirs that you can also receive.
Which to me is so backwards, but...
So we went from a system currently where now you can walk into a brewery and you can buy a pint glass and get free beer. And we switched to a system where you can go into a brewery after July 1st, and you'll be able to buy a tour and get free beer to consume on site, but also up to a six-pack to go. So that's going to be, you know,
kind of... I guess it is another step.
I like to compare it to Tesla. So Tesla wants to be able to sell its electric vehicles direct to consumers without mm-hmm. having to go through a dealership. And there was a bunch of legislation that actually went through this past session that's going to allow them to do that at five locations in Georgia. And craft breweries like Tesla want to be able to sell their product that they manufacture directly to consumers. But mm-hmm. Craft breweries want to be able to do it in just very, under certain limited circumstances, in limited quantities. And the kind of comparison I like to make is what we have now with the bill that was passed is kind of similar to if you went to a Tesla dealership and they could sell you a $100,000 pamphlet on electric vehicles and then give you a free car.
Or sell you a ride, a test drive in the car.
Sure, right, or a very expensive t-shirt or something like that. And kind of when you put it in those terms, it sounds totally nuts, right? I mean, it kind of goes like, wait, I can't sell the thing, but I can, you know, I can sell a voucher and then give away a thing for free. And generally speaking, that's frowned upon in by any number of lawyers and or judges or but because the beverage alcohol industry is so highly regulated and there's so much history that goes into it, you know, there's a lot of concern about changing it. You know, the way that the 21st Amendment was set up allowed the states to have a tremendous amount of control over how alcohol is regulated, more so even than guns or drugs or anything
else. All
the
other things that are out there.
Right. It's actually really interesting from a historical perspective that the Supreme Court has allowed in the past, you know, alcohol beverage to supersede, you know, even federal law at times. Commerce clause violations, things like that,
right.
Because the 21st Amendment gives so much power to the states here. Mm-hmm. So whereas in other industries, you know, you listen to the setup and you go, that's crazy. And beverage alcohol, oof, we're up for anything.
And anybody can answer this question. Tell me about growlers and how they help or hurt or,
we're going to give this one to Robert.
I mean, you know, this legislation that just passed that Nancy was speaking to, you know, it's not exactly where this legislation that just passed, you know, it's a baby step. It's not kind of compared to other states where we need to be, but it's so helpful. I mean, to be able to give away the additional free samples, we attract more people to our brewery, we sell more beer. We're able to grow. I mean, you know, it's really tough to run a brewery anywhere, you know, particularly in Georgia with the regulation and just the unintended consequences that they have. But, you know, just something as simple as this legislation that just passed it just gives us some breathing room, allows us to grow, create more jobs, period.
Which is good. Interesting. That's the goal that you guys were trying to hit.
It's interesting to see what's going to happen with growlers. You have a lot of local growler shops around, and some of them are closing their doors because now you have some of the big box retailers, Whole Foods and Kroger type grocery stores, that are starting to get into growlers. So it'll be interesting to see how many of those are able to keep their doors open. I think the ones that will be able to keep their doors open are the ones that really, really have a good understanding of the industry and the product itself, so that you're getting their expertise that you probably can't get from a big box retailer.
Right. Yeah. The personal touch.
And growlers do have, from a brewery perspective, they tend to be one of the least favorite formats for a brewer to give their beer away in, because they're a difficult format to control. So if you think about it, a growler, if done improperly, is not unlike, you know, taking a pint glass and putting some Saran wrap over it and handing it to a person and then them drinking it several days later, right? You don't have control over the oxidation of the beer. You don't necessarily have control over the carbonation. And so growlers are not a fantastic format unless they're filled correctly and with clean draft lines and stuff like that. So for a brewer doing it themselves, you know, I think all of our brewers, you know, will be able to fill growlers and be able to do it, in a way that really controls the way the product gets to the consumer. But to Taylor's point, you know, there is some quality issues inside of these growler shops. And it's interesting that Georgia is actually pretty liberal when it comes to growlers compared to other states. Other states have very strict rules around growlers and what growlers do, but in Georgia law, we never addressed them. So kind of there's no definition of growler in Georgia law. There's no definition of growler in regulation. So it's just kind of been the Wild West. And so in that way, we're ahead of the game.
So it's almost like a loophole.
Yeah. A little bit.
Wow, this has been really awesome. We're almost here to the end. Rich, did you have any questions?
Are you leaving the beer here, or is it
absolutely? I also brought some commemorative Red Brick T-shirts for you guys.
Wow,
to celebrate your anniversary!
So. Yay, thank
man,
you.
This is my favorite show today so far. Yeah,
I know, me too. We just went out the year with a bang.
I guess for the guild or just anybody, what's next on the horizon? We were talking before the show, or you mentioned before the show. Now that that's kind of you've achieved this milestone, you know, but it kind of reminds me of the old. Comment, I think, who was the coach of the San Francisco 49ers back in the day, won the Super Bowl. Well, I don't know if we can say that. You're not supposed to say that, but we're internet broadcast, yeah. So anyway, but won the big game, right? And then driving home, it was at the gas station. The guy's like, Bill, not Watson, I'm trying to think of his name, but the guy at the gas station says, so what's next? And it's like, wait a minute, I just celebrated winning this huge event, you know? So, but what's next?
Well, I'll say that I'm always kind of thinking ahead. You know, okay. We learned so much during this legislative session that we really want to keep that momentum going and make sure that we keep those relationships. You know, as far as a legislative agenda, we got to discuss that internally and you know, a legislative agenda is not a cheap thing, and we don't have a lot of money. So we've got to kind of decide priority-wise what the guild members want. Mm-hmm. But in the immediate future, you know, the bill was signed yesterday, and it goes into effect July 1st. So we've got a few weeks here to get with the Department of Revenue, set up a licensing procedure, because we now have to have licenses for the tour room, which is new, and put out some rules and regs in order to kind of make this transition smooth for the brewers and the consumers. So that's kind of on the immediate horizon is, you know, got the law, now I've got to get the reg set. Mm-hmm. And then in the meantime, you know, run some beer festivals. We got one on May 30th in Atlanta. And you know,
just I think I'm
speak
already
on radio programs, stuff
yeah,
like that.
Right. Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's been lots of activity and photos on Twitter and Facebook just for the show so far. But and you may have mentioned this because I've been a little distracted taking photos and tweeting and all that good stuff and updating my Facebook profile. No, but no, drinking some beer. But did you mention earlier during the show about as far as a membership for the guild and how that's, you know, cost or how that's involved or who would,
So the guild is a 501c6, so we're the trade organization or business right. league that represents all the craft brewers. So everyone who's not Budweiser or Miller can be a member, and we do have a really high participation rate inside right. of the state. We do have allied trade memberships for things like lawyers and insurance agents.
Yeah, service providers.
Exactly. Okay. And then also if people want to be an enthusiast member, we work with Peach State Ale Trail. Okay. They're our enthusiast partners, and they actually do a passport program that provides discounts to breweries and various locations around town, but they donate a portion of their proceeds to us. So if you have any beer enthusiasts in your life, a Peach State Ale Trail membership is quite the ticket, and right. it's a great annual thing to do for someone.
Cool. And I don't. Can you mention pricing or whatever, or for cost to join or membership or
Membership dues are based on the size of the brewery, and we kind of scale them up. That's something that we kind of have been developing
worries.
Internally.
But. Yeah, yeah. All right, that completes my line of questioning.
Well, we just want to thank everybody for being here today. Taylor Harper, it was great to have you back. We're so glad.
Great to be back. Thanks.
Yeah, that you are on today. And Nancy and Robert,
thank you so much
for being here. Thanks for the beer.
Cheers.
It's going to be a great celebration today. We got more stuff coming up, but you won't be able to know about it.
Exactly. Some secrets or whatever. Yeah. So the CLE, is that still on?
Yeah, the CLE. So we got the ALE has the CLE, and you had a lot of like ABL.
I had a whole
bunch of them.
I have that Michael Jackson song in my head right now.
Nice. And well, we'll post on the site all of the translations of all the acronyms and initials or whatever. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Again, it's Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices, and this is Atlanta Legal Experts Radio signing out.
Is Peachtree going to have their own beer line come out? Or?